Preached a message Friday night at Lily Valley that I like so well. I'm going to preach it again today. I preached this in 2001. And I think it's an important message, especially in the times in which we live. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. The title of my message today is Christ's Coming Kingdom. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I believe this literally happened. I believe Mary was a virgin, that God dispatched an angel to go to her and to speak to her because she was with child, or is going to be with child. Verse 31, and behold, whenever you see that word in the Bible, you ought to take note. Something amazing is about to be said. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus, Savior. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe with all my heart that this was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah that a virgin shall conceive. And the genesis of this goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15. That the Messiah would be born of a woman apart from man. See, in order for Jesus to be virgin born, he could not have a sin nature in order for him to be qualified to be Savior. He could not have a sin nature. He couldn't, his life could not be brought about, his human life could not be brought about in the normal course of events. The Holy Spirit of God literally conceived Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. It's never been done before or since. It is a miracle. I believe Jesus Christ was literally born of a virgin without sin. In fact, if you don't believe that, then you don't have a Savior. Because you cannot receive eternal life from someone who does not possess eternity. We derive eternal life from God, not from a sinful God or one that has bore a sin nature. But Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. You say, well, yeah, that's elementary. We all believe that. You know, everybody that is orthodox in their theology believes that Jesus Christ was virgin born. Literally, virgin born. Now you're going to see why I'm honing in on that in just a moment. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now up to this point, most people are in agreement that yes, he shall be great. But when it comes to the giving him the throne of David, That's where it gets a little dicey for a lot of people. But not with me. I'm going to show you from the Bible that Christ's coming kingdom will be literally fulfilled on this earth when He comes to rule and to reign for 1,000 years. And after that, there's even the eternal ages. It says in verse 33, "And He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of His kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She's a virgin. She's never had sexual relations with a man. She's never had intimacy. And she's asking the angel, "How can this be?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The psalmist in his messianic psalm, and it's quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, a particular special body was prepared for Christ. Hebrews 10:5, "Wherefore when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." Not just any body. One that was perfect, without blemish, without spot. "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." His will was to come in this perfect body, live a perfect life without sin, unlike anyone has ever done before. He fulfilled all of the law's requirements and then paid the penalty for the law that the law required. Verse 9, "Then said He, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second." Verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." That was the purpose of Christ's first advent. The advent means He came to the earth. When Christ came to the earth the first time, He came for the express purpose of being a sacrifice for His people. That's why He said, "A body hast thou prepared me." And in that body, in that perfect body, where He obeyed all the law of God, He offered Himself on the cross. For all that the Father gave Him, He died in their stead. Their sins were laid upon the body of Christ. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. And again, all I'm talking about, I believe literally happened. His incarnation, His perfect life, His sacrificial death, His glorious resurrection constitute the sinner's only ground for hope. That's your only hope. If you're lost here today, I don't care whether you're male or female, married, divorced, white, black, yellow, red, doesn't matter the color of your skin, the sins that you've committed, I point you to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's the only Savior of sinners. That's why His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. The first advent of Christ to the earth was to suffer, whereas His second coming to the earth will be to reign as King, fulfilling the other aspect of Luke chapter 1. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. The Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. Now, the day and age in which we live, humanism, globalism, communism, believe that mankind is going to bring about a utopian society. And I'm here to tell you that the New World Order, the reset, all of it's garbage. I don't care. Whatever men devise, it's depraved, it's defiled, it's corrupt. That's true of every government that has ever existed. So there is a huge contrast between what the world is clamoring for, globalism, communism, socialism, the elites being able to orchestrate a utopia. That is a lie. It's never going to happen. There's always going to be division. But I can guarantee you one thing. Jesus Christ is coming back. I believe right now we're in the last of the last days. The last days, if you read your Bible, Hebrews chapter 1 says that the last days started with the first advent of Christ when He came to die and was buried and rose again. That's when the last days started. And I believe things are quickly accelerating. Now, don't ever ask me to set a date. Don't ever ask me, hey, when do you think the Lord's come down? You got a mathematical formula? Can you tell us the day and the year? Come on, we want to know. Have you got it calculated with all the blood moons and when they're all going to come? No, I don't. Because Jesus said, watch and pray, for you know not what hour the Son of Man cometh. I believe His coming and the rapture is imminent. It could happen today. And that's how we ought to live our lives each and every day, looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I personally believe, and as I get through this message, I do want to make a statement. If you study theologies written by Baptists over the last, really, 500 years, because for the most part, Baptists never had any money to publish anything. And if they did publish something, Protestants and Catholics tried to destroy it. All right, because we've been hunted and persecuted since the days of Jesus Christ. But if you read Baptist theologies, you're going to find when it comes to the subject of eschatology, study of last things, prophecy, that there are a lot of different views. Okay? Baptists historically have never made that a test of fellowship. They have agreed that they believe in the second coming of Christ. All right? So, but I'm going to tell you what I believe the Bible teaches. I believe that there is going to be a rapture of the saints. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I believe in the imminent rapture of the saints. Notice I said the saints. I don't believe in a universal church. That's why I don't use the word church. All believers at the time of His coming will be raptured. Now I don't follow C.I. Scofield. In fact, I don't read a lot of people on eschatology. I believe that there are going to be people saved during the tribulation period. You know how they're going to be saved? The same way you were saved. You say, oh, well, I've never heard that before. I didn't know anybody. Listen, God is not bound by a time frame on how He saves people. And He's always saved people the very same way. You have to receive spiritual life from the Holy Spirit of God, and you have to repent and believe the gospel. I believe that's the way people are saved, Old Testament, New Testament, on in. In fact, if you read my answer in the upcoming Berea Baptist Banner, and I'm sure you're just waiting breathlessly to do that. I'm joking, Ed. I'm joking. I believe there's going to be people saved not just during the tribulation, but also during the millennial reign of Christ on the earth. There will be people saved. And I got scripture to back it up, and I'm not going to go through it today. All right? Because I got 10 points. I told that to the church on Friday night, and I said, and they got kind of concerned. Now, the great thing about being a pastor is I know that I'm not going to get through the 10 points today. Okay? So, again, Teresa, no worries. All right? We're all going to have lunch at the appropriate time. But I told them, I said, you know, if somebody told you that you were going to bag a 10-point deer, oh man, how long would Doug Bills sit in a tree stand or be out in the woods if he was guaranteed to get a 10-point buck? Devin, you'd stay for a whole day, wouldn't you? Well, Devin may not have the same bloodlust as Doug Bills. But the fact is, people get excited over a 10-point deer. You ought to get excited over a 10-point message. I believe that Jesus Christ will come from heaven to earth at the end of the tribulation period with the glorified saints who had previously been resurrected and caught up together in the rapture. If you would, turn with me to Revelation chapter 5 in verse 9. Now, the context of Revelation, this chapter, if you remember, Revelation chapter 4, I think, is a picture of the rapture when John is caught up to see the Lord. A trumpet was talking with him that said, come up hither. And he saw the Lord upon His throne, the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody was worshiping Him. I think that's a picture of what's going to happen in the rapture. That God's people are going to be caught up. Now here's what's so interesting in chapter 5. Here you have a scene in heaven where there are saints of God from the Old Testament and the New Testament who are gathered around the throne of God, and they're singing a new song. Mind you, every single one of these saints who are singing are glorified. Meaning they have the mind of Christ. They have been conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know the truth as it is in Jesus. Without fail and without error. And notice what they say. Revelation 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. What a great missions verse. This is why we are to take the gospel to every nation, to every tribe, to every tongue, to every... God has His people all over the world. And that's why He said, preach the gospel to every creature. That verse alone ought to destroy hardshellism. Now notice what they say. Mind you, they are glorified. They have the mind of Christ. And their confession is, in verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. These saints in heaven believe that they're coming back with Jesus to reign on the earth. That's their confession. The saints reigning with Christ on earth is a fulfillment of a promise that He made in Matthew 5 and verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The establishment of Messiah's coming kingdom will be the ultimate fulfillment of the request of the model prayer. Remember when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray? What was one petition in that? Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I believe during the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, with Christ as King, that verse is going to have a literal fulfillment. Now this army of glorified saints that will accompany Christ when He comes to put down all of His enemies and establish His millennial throne, this is according to Enoch's prophecy. You say, I never read an Enoch's prophecy in the Old Testament. I know, but it's in the New Testament. It's in Jude 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Notice, Enoch prophesied that the Lord will come with 10,000s of His saints to judge and to make war. When is that prophecy going to be fulfilled? Well, turn over to Revelation 19. This is at the end of the tribulation. And it says in verse 13, well, let's just go back a few verses. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was faithful and true. In righteousness doth He judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. Interestingly enough, John, the beloved, is the one inspired to write this, and that title corresponds with how John introduced his gospel. He introduced Christ as the Word of God. In his incarnation, and now he says that he is the Word of God in his revelation. That was cool how I just made those words line up, wasn't it? That was pretty good. All right, look what it says. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We don't know the day or the hour of his coming, but we do know when the second advent is going to occur. Look over, and I want you to notice the time words that we're going to look at. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24. In verse 29. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after. What do those words tell you? Well, those are time words. Immediately after what? The tribulation of those days. Shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He's coming back to the earth after the tribulation. That's what the verses say. Now, when he comes back in power and great glory, by the way, this did not happen in 70 AD. This is not what... Jesus didn't come again in 70 AD. Now, when he comes back to the earth, he's going to establish his throne and he's going to purge his kingdom. There will be people, some people who are saved and some who are lost, that survive the tribulation period and the second advent. Turn over to Matthew 25. I don't believe that the judgment in Matthew 25 is the great white throne judgment. There are huge differences between the two. This one occurs on the earth. The great white throne judgment occurs somewhere in the universe. Notice what it says, verse 31. And again, these are time words. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, not only the holy angels, but the saints, according to Enoch's prophecy, and according to Revelation 19. All right, another time word. When He comes in His glory, then, another time word, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. What throne is that? It's the throne of David. It's on the earth. It's in Jerusalem. It's where the throne of David was. Now notice what's going to happen at the judgment of the nations. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep. You got to be careful how you say that. That's a tongue twister. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Enter into this millennial kingdom that was purposed for you by God's divine decree. But what's he going to do with the goats, people who aren't saved? He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The goats are going to be cast into hell to await the judgment of the great white throne. So I believe this. I think at the very beginning of the reign of Christ upon the earth, at the judgment of the nations, the sheep are going to enter into the kingdom in their natural bodies. These are people on the earth that don't have glorified bodies. All right? And the goats are going to be cast into hell, the unsaved. So I think there's going to be a time on the earth at the very beginning of the kingdom where there won't be anybody that is lost. Everybody will be saved at the beginning of the kingdom. Now, how do I get that? I think there's a prophetic gem, one prophetic gem in the book of Proverbs. And I think it refers to this very time. Proverbs 2, verse 21 and 22. It says, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. The lost are going to be purged from the kingdom. The tares are going to be plucked up and cast into the fire. That's at the beginning of the millennial reign. This tells you how much faster I was talking on Friday night, because I only got through 2 points today. Next week, we're going to look at, I'm going to give you Bible proof to show you where Messiah's throne is going to be and how the millennial reign will be an absolute theocracy. And it's also going to be the time of Israel's regeneration, restoration, and they're going to be in their land in belief, in faith, for the first time ever since their dispersion. So that is upcoming, and I'll try to move along faster. I wanted to make the point today. I wanted to really hone in on it. Listen, if you believe all the prophecies regarding to the first advent of Christ, that they were literally fulfilled, then you got to believe that the prophecies relating to the second advent of Christ will likewise be literally fulfilled. That principle ought to carry in both issues. I'm not amillennial, And I don't believe in a replacement theology. I don't believe in the old Catholic idea that all the promises to Israel in the Old Testament were to the universal church. I believe that Israel and the New Testament church are two separate entities. And that God has a purpose for Israel. And like I'll get to next week, it may be one of the greatest evidences of God's existence and His promises coming true, the nation of Israel. Well, I can't wait to get to that next week, but we will. God willing, let's all stand.